And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Lakers Snack Pack, everyone. Grab a snack. There you go. It's the Lakers Snack Pack. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcast. Plus also as well, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football. I just hit up Chris Sardieri. In the next couple of weeks, we'll probably take a look at the NFL free agency and how that will affect your fantasy football. So we'll go ahead and probably touch on an episode sometime in March. So look forward to that. Hopefully we can get Joe Soro in on it as well. Talking NFL free agency. A lot of running backs are going to be available. I'm definitely going to see where they're falling or where they're going to as we talk about it on Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Plus also as well, speaking of Joe Soro, he is the man behind Double Ox 1947 right there as I go ahead and adjust my name. Go ahead and follow him today at LakersBall.com. Plus also, he has a company he worked very hard at this weekend, and that is Sinblaze. Sinblaze with a Y.com. Also as well, he does host on game nights Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. And he did say in recent times that he would be doing every now and then a cup of morning show. So go ahead and make sure you follow him today on Twitter or right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Plus also as well, of course, our good friends, the Lakerholics crew of Jamie Sweet and Laker Tom. Don't forget, if you didn't get a chance to this past weekend, they recorded a Lakerholic spotlight this past Lakers weekend. So go ahead and check out what they have to say. Or check out what they have to say today at Lakerholics.com. Our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, John McCalion, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, yo, plus also as well, of course, John Costa, saving the best for last year. And why did I do that? Because he's the man behind Clutch Talk and also as well Lakers Corner. He will be giving you a taste of Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner tomorrow. At 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Lakers Fast Break. He is taking over the channel on the Lakers Fast Break to give you a taste of what he does for his shows, Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner. So go ahead and give him some love. Give them all some love. And speaking of giving out the love, please click on the little Joe if you're on YouTube, right below the big Joe, for subscribing and liking this video as well. Plus also, of course, if you're on Facebook, like the video and also follow us. Be part of the many followers now on Facebook we've garnered over the past few days because of the thousands of people who've watched us on Facebook and also YouTube. So go ahead and join us and be a part of the magic that is known as the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, the crowd here at the best Lakers chat room that's out there, the Lakers Fast Break, is starting to fill up. We truly appreciate you joining us here on a Monday evening. We were asked by Sports Baby, hey, are you guys going to do a show? We try to accommodate. I know Joshua Dietz is always asking us, so we go ahead and try to accommodate when we can. One of the things I did want to focus on is, okay, we're going to do a show. What's it going to be about? Well, Jovan Buha of The Athletic, who you know is not everyone's cup of tea, but he did bring up something very interesting. Since the 23rd of January, a little over a month, the Lakers defense has been one of the worst in the NBA. And we could tell that the Lakers had their emphasis in the past month with a lot of their winning ways in the month of February based off their offense, outscoring teams because of the high-octane offense with putting Rui Hachimura in the lineup. Also, so well, of course, D'Angelo Russell's great play over the course of the past few weeks. But their defense has been pretty porous these past few weeks. And while it went relatively unnoticed by other places and other shows, we kind of been pointing that out. And it all came to a head last night or yesterday afternoon in Phoenix, along with the porous rebounding, where Yusuf Nurkic destroyed the Lakers on the boards. And we'll talk about that, how bad it's been all season on the boards here in a minute. But here today to discuss, has the defense really been the issue or one of the main issues? Because there obviously there's a litany of issues why the Lakers are where they're at in the Western Conference. It's a good man indeed. It is, of course, the guy, the mastermind behind Simblades, simblades.com, and of course, Oxide247 at wall.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, drinking water today, and I hope it's going to stay water. Please don't get him to go ahead and drink today. He needs to take a day off. Joe, hope you're doing well, my friend. Hope you're rested, and hope you're ready for action tonight.
The defensive issues are there because you don't really have a lot of guys that can play defense. I think the worst part about their defensive side of things is the offensive rebounds that they're allowing to the opposition. I'd say that's number one. That's the number one killer for them this year. I'm pretty confident that if they weren't as bad as they were on the boards while they're playing defense, the Lakers might have won a few more games. Those many offensive rebounds that their opponents are getting are absolutely killing the Lakers because they always seem to score after they get them. And I'm talking, you know, just daggered threes, if anything. I'd say that's the first place you want to look. It doesn't help that LeBron can't play defense either.
That's the reason why I put him at the front of the, today's show.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help that he doesn't run back on defense when he's upset. Those are the things that are killing the team. Overall team defense, I would like to say if there was a coaching philosophy, a coaching focus on having everyone play together, having everyone understanding their roles, the lanes, the ability to consistently game in and game out, play a certain way. Because, you know, for a minute there, you saw them getting into the passing lanes. We talked about this a few weeks ago. They were doing some good stuff on defense where they were deflecting shots, deflecting passes. They were doing stuff, but it's just not consistent enough. Losing Vando, whom is their best perimeter defender, Cam Reddish, who was probably their second best perimeter defender. That doesn't help. AD is left to try to cover everyone else's rear end, and he just can't do it. He just can't do it. It just doesn't work. In this day and age, every player can basically shoot and make shots. It doesn't matter if you're the one or the 12. They all seem to be able to make shots, and if they're open, they're going to make them, especially if it's against the Lakers. I don't know if there's going to be a solution to fixing this issue unless LeBron starts to play defense and we're able to get a healthy perimeter defender like Vando and Cam Reddish to play consistently without getting injured.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's a snack pack for you. It's Gerald Glassford along with Joe Soro. Truly appreciate you joining us. Please like and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's a team all season, Joe, that has been one of the worst at giving up open threes and allowing threes as far as percentage-wise to the other team. And you've called this time and time again. When the Lakers find any little small bit of prosperity, they always end up giving a three on the other end. Or even if they give up an offensive rebound or two, which is my other key point as far as this whole defensive theme that we're talking about. The team ranks 29th in offensive rebounding percentage, last in second chance points per game, and 28th in second chance points per game given up. Basically, they absolutely suck when it comes to giving up offensive rebounds and also getting their own offensive rebounds. So put that all together, Joe. It is a wonder how the Lakers are even where they're at, given the fact how bad they played defense and rebounding so far in major spots this season.
This isn't something they can turn on. This is something that needs conditioning for an entire season. The team doesn't have enough focus within a 48-minute game, week in and week out, to be able to turn on something. I don't I don't really see a fix other than a talent infusion that could help Vanderbilt, Cam Reddish. But then you're asking again someone like Vanderbilt to come back and get his shooting rhythm back in and getting his team chemistry back in. And also, by the way, I don't believe he's coming back. I believe Vanderbilt's done for the year. I have seen no signs that he'll be back. Gabe Vincent, same situation. Cam Reddish, sure, he might give you a couple things here and there, but I don't think it's going to be enough. They're going to have to go with the starting lineup. They have to have all five of their starters, which is AD, LeBron, Rui, Austin, and D'Lo. They need all five of those guys to be hitting on all cylinders for the rest of the year. Otherwise, you're probably not going to do very well. There is no depth at this point in any way as constructed. It's a battle that they've lost already, and we're not able to come to grips with the fact that this is going to end sooner than we would like.
Intel, you're truly a blessing, my friend. Absolutely. Cannot thank you enough. You're just such a big supporter of what we do here at the Lakers Fast Break. I'm truly humbled, again, with the awesome super chat donation that you gave to us today, Joe. Absolutely cannot thank you enough for it. Joe, though, when it comes right down to it, again, I know there's a litany of problems. It seems whenever we get the offense going, the defense is bad. When the defense gets going, it's vice versa. But it all spells out to right around a 500 team. So, you know, the old saying, you know, as far as the coach, you are who you think you are. You are who you play. You are. You are who you say you are. You are who you are. In this case, the Lakers, when it comes right down to it, who cannot find consistency for any large stretch of the season on both ends of the floor, they are exactly who they are. At 31-28.
Should I play the record? Should I play the record?
It's up to you, my friend. But
I can play a record, and it's broken. The Lakers are dead in the water at this point. The only thing that could probably save them is a myriad of injuries to the top teams during their run. And miraculously, that LeBron or anyone on the starting five not getting injured. That's probably the best bet. They're going to win a few of these games here coming up. They have a very, very long homestand. There's going to be some entertaining games, I'm sure. Hopefully starting Wednesday with a win and a season series win against the Clippers, which could be the last time they play the Clippers at the Crypt, as both are attendees at that particular arena. So there's some good stuff to look at. There's some good stuff to talk about. Hopefully some good things in terms of results there. They have Denver that they haven't beaten in a while. Coming up after that, after the Washington game on the back end of a back-to-back. So the Lakers are going to have a chance to do some things here within the next 2 to 3 games. And if they lose Wednesday and they lose to Denver, it's probably going to be the beginning of the end at that point. And that's something that could be more realistic than not.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Well, one thing I can definitely say that is with the Lakers, this season has been, just like last season, pretty much a roller coaster. But the Lakers did finally, as we got into this part of the season, Joe, they started to find themselves. They started to go ahead and play collectively a lot better. They found their rhythm, but they also found the, a lot of health at that point in time as well. Whereas right now, we still have several key players out of the lineup as far as rotation players are concerned. I think we're really weak right now coming off to the bench with very little options. I know everybody screams to just make sure that Prince stays on the bench. Don't play Prince very much. Dinwiddie's been awful. But as we saw yesterday, there's just not a whole lot of good options. I know people are upset with Max Christie not being played and then the excuses that Darvin Ham made because, oh, he got in foul trouble, so we couldn't play Max Christie in the game because AD got in foul trouble. I'm not sure if Max Christie would have moved the needle in either direction because he has been so wildly inconsistent this year. For every two steps he's made forward, he's taken three back. That's why he's in the position that he's in the rotation. So I don't know how great Max Christie would have done to help us. He could have probably closed the gap a little bit. Maybe he could have. But again, right now, we're at a stark point as far as who we have coming off the bench. I have very little faith anybody can give us anything solid coming off that bench right now for the LA Lakers.
No, there's no one. You have essentially Prince and Dinwiddie who played off the bench in this last game, and that really was it. Torian Prince played, I believe, 27 minutes, and Dinwiddie played 23 minutes. The only thing I would have done different if I was Ham was I would have played Rui 10 more minutes than Dinwiddie because of the fact that Dinwiddie could not hit a shot or do anything for that matter in those 23 minutes. I think he made only one shot, which is one three-pointer. Key players come that have not been available. Guys like Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, Cam Reddish. That's an interesting phrase. For a minute there, Vanderbilt was on his way back. He was playing really well, but it's not good enough to be here for a couple months and before then be injured and then after that be then. He's been an utter this tragedy this year due to his health. Cam Reddish was a scrap heap pickup, so I don't know about that.
No, Max, exactly. How much faith can
Max
you have?
Max Christie, Max Christie, unfortunately, is now the third draft pick that's associated with this team in the last few years that hasn't produced squat, which I know people get mad at me when I say that. I know some people at Lakers Ball don't like it when I talk about Max Christie not being an NBA player. They vehemently are just all over me for that too. They're like, no, he is. I'm like,
I think one day he'll be a rotational player.
One day I might have blonde hair. One day I might be dead. It doesn't matter. So
it's not now.
We don't need him to be.
It's not now. Max He's not Christie. A consistent player now.
Yeah, we don't need him to be Mad Max Christie in 10 years or 5 years or even in 2 years. They needed him now. The Lakers have bombed in three areas in the draft. One is last year's pick of Hood Schifino, the Maxwell in terms of the second round pick. And then, of course, Max Christie is just not an impact player. So you're not. I'm being harsh on that because most of them are late round picks. I should say second round picks.
Yeah, he's a second round pick,
right?
So.
But
Lakers spent money, millions of dollars, to move up two picks.
So there's a lot of whether those are supposed to be or not supposed to be. Either way, they're players that are taking up a roster space and they're not really doing much. So forget about the whole we drafted bad or what. Bottom line is they're on the roster and they're not doing anything. You have three young players who aren't really doing much. And then you have Cam Reddish, who is a bust at this moment. You have Jared Vanderbilt, who can't stay healthy. You have Torian Prince, who's a minimum type player. You have Christian Wood, who shuffles around. Shovels around here and there and makes a couple of good plays every now and then, but that's it. So you have a fractured roster. A fractured roster with, other than maybe D'Angelo, Austin, and AD, have mental inabilities to lead or fix things. Yes, I am talking about LeBron James. And for those of you who have a problem with how I talk about LeBron James, you can suck it because the proof is in the pudding. Okay? Y'all can eat it. You want to be the greatest of all time. Oh, by the way, I didn't say he was. Gerald didn't say he was. Most of the people on here didn't. I don't know anybody that said it and on our chat. But if you're going to sit there, LeBron James, call yourself the greatest, you should be able to do a little bit better leadership. Meaning, you're in your 21st season. You're still leaving your players in the lurch at least one or two times a game because you're not happy with a call.
And you got it. You got to, I guess, comment. I guess it's you. I don't know. We're both
old. It is me. It is me. It is.
I didn't talk about Kobe.
Responsibility is something that people don't like to hear.
From Cash KD in the comments,
Jimmy. They don't like to hear when someone gets called out for their BS. I've been around a long time, 45 years. You want to call me old? Cool. I am. I'm 45. I'll be 46 on Friday, by the way. So I want you all to listen. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. This is LeBron's problem. Why? Because it's his team. Don't tell me it's AD's team. Or don't tell me it's D'Lo's team. It's LeBron's team. And you know damn well it's LeBron's team. Okay? Where LeBron goes is where this team goes. He's the greatest of all time, allegedly. So now who am I going to blame? Now the word blame is an easy word. It's not really blame. Who am I going to go to fix the problem? Am I going to go to Rob Pelinka? Genie? What does Genie do during the weeks? Tupperware parties? I don't know what she does all week. Rob Pelinka? Hide in his bunker? I see him maybe once or twice every 3-4 months. Darvin Ham? We all know what he's doing. Nothing. So who am I going to now go to? Someone that actually has control over this. And by the way, John, if you're going to keep using the age as an excuse, then he needs to retire. How about that? Is that a solution? Stop telling me he's 39. Stop telling me he's 39. You want to be a leader? You want to be the greatest of all time? You're dropping 25, 7, and 7, 24 and change, 7 and 7? Then lead. You would think that he can still play, right? LeBron can still play. It doesn't matter if he's 39. Why can't he at least lead some things? It doesn't look like he can lead. You tell me what it is. What else am I going to go at? What else? John, don't ever agree with me again in that tone.
Johnny's teasing you, Aussie. I want to say, though, can I say this on the age thing, though, Joe? I really think that when Rob designed this team for this season, I keep thinking the way he designs this team is that he designs it thinking a younger LeBron is playing out there on an every game basis. So the reality of the 39-year-old LeBron is that you're not going to get the younger LeBron on an every game basis. Yeah, sure, you got 39 and 7 on Friday, but how many days of rest did it take for him to get the 39 and 7 on Friday? And the game after that, where he didn't play all that bad, but obviously it didn't lead enough to a win. So again, I'm just asking you in regards to the age thing. I just think that Rob, when he mapped things out for this season, just has it in his mind that LeBron is the player he once was in 2020 or even earlier than that.
I think we're allowing ourselves, not me, of course, ourselves as a fan base to fall in this pit of numbers. Numbers don't matter anymore, folks. Numbers, when you have a triple-double now, it's different than when it was in 1999. I'm not looking at numbers. I'm looking at a team that is functioning in a certain way that's going to continue to be productive. There isn't enough productiveness there. They had a good week when they went on that road trip with this, when they beat Boston and beat New York, but it's not enough. They needed those kind of runs at least two or three times before, so that if they're sitting at 10 or 12 or 13 games above 500, you're solidifying a playoff spot at that point. I wouldn't be this way if they were a 5 or a 6 seed. That's probably where they were probably going to go, even though I was looking back and saying, if things kind of play out our way and this and that, maybe we can get a top 4 pick. But really, that's just optimism, because what else can we do as a Laker fan base? What else can we think of when you have LeBron James and AD as your pillars? You would like to think that they could get to the top 4, but apparently they're not. And now they can't even get to the bottom 4. And that's the frustration. What's AD's been healthy all year. LeBron hasn't had any major injury. D'Lo's playing great. Austin's gotten out of his funk. Rui's been playing well, and they still lose. So what is it? I'd like to know. I'm asking everyone out there, what is it? Why are they still losing? We said at the beginning of the year, if AD is healthy and playing the way he's playing right now, they're going to be in good shape. So where did it break down at that point is what I want to know. So that all you LeBron bromance people get all angry when I hold the leader of the team accountable when they lose. What kind of world do you live in? Who am I going to go to when things aren't going right? I already explained this in the last show. Who do you want me to go to? You want me to go to who? You guys going to keep blaming Taurean Prince, $2.7 million a year player? How responsible is that of you to be blaming that? Well, it's Darvin Ham. Okay, it's Darvin Ham. Now what? He's LeBron James, right? He's the one that tells Darvin, hey, I'm going to sit out this game, right? I don't have proof of it, but it's common sense. So why can't he, if Darvin Ham is useless, why isn't LeBron saying, you know what, F this guy, I'm going to coach you all on this court? Tell me who I should go talk to. Should I go talk to Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Mike Brown, Rob Sacre? I mean, it boggles my mind that you can be that delusional. And who's actually running this thing? Well, bring it. Tell me who I should go to. But some people want to be the leader when it's good, and then when it's bad, what? We're supposed to go away?
And you're called a Kobe stan / LeBron hater. I'm like, talk to how many Lakers fans out there who are Kobe stans. There are millions of people that love Kobe and the accomplishments that he made. Sometimes I will say that maybe people's love for Kobe kind of maybe glosses over some of the things he didn't do as well. But he is a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest players of all time for a very reason. And LeBron is in that same stature as well. But at this point, Joe, the reason why I'm saying is because the defense, as noted by Jovan Buha, has been extremely bad in the past month. The offensive rebounding, both on the offensive boards and also defending offensive rebounds against you, has been abysmal all season long. The three-point percentage has been awful the way we give them up to other teams.
You want to argue against what we're... See, this is the thing. I'm trying to maybe in some way teach the people out there in social media land who are so easy to snap. They would never do this in your face.
No.
Right? They're going to do it online because they're hiding behind the little thingies. They're not bringing back a coherent response. Kobe stan. What the hell does that even mean, Kobe stan? What does that even mean? You don't see any Kobe posts here. We talk about Kobe because that's what we're used to in terms of determination, leadership, and killing the opponent. I'm sorry if that's the 5 championships, 20 years of the Lakers. Before then, it's Magic, Kareem, Worthy. Sorry if that's what we're trying, you know, that's what we're used to. And sorry if we're angry that he's not running back on defense. Well, what do you want me to say? He's the one doing that. I'm not telling him not to run back.
It's okay. He gets a pass. He's 39.
Okay, let me say this. I mean, I use Kobe as an example of what the Laker people are used to. I don't remember those things when the number one guy. When was the last time before LeBron that the Lakers had the number one guy? It was Kobe. That was the last guy. Okay, it wasn't D'Angelo, wasn't Julius Randle. It wasn't Lonzo Ball. It was freaking Kobe. He was the last one. So obviously we're using that as an example because it wasn't that far away. And at the same time, it's things going on. Are you watching or are you watching Kevin Garnett dancing somewhere or Stephen A. Smith screaming somewhere? We're watching the games. As much as it's killing me sometimes to watch these games, we're watching it. I'm not making this up. And I'm using Kobe as an example because we're not seeing things like hourglasses on social media when things aren't going right. You know what Kobe did? He went into the freaking press conference and said, trade me. I'm done with this. I'm done with losing. There was no passiveness. It was just direct. And then when Jerry West calmed him down, he finally kind of said, okay, I'm gonna ride this. I'm gonna see what happens. And guess what happened? They made something happen, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I want a coherent argument. Because if you really want me to talk about Kobe and let's say his last 5 years, which wasn't a surprise, by the way. Kobe Bryant was very similar to a player that I love, is Troy Polamalu. The Kobe career wasn't going to end well. We had talked about that for years. That guy played too relentless to go off into the sunset. Too relentless. He was too much. Even the trainer for both MJ and Kobe, I forgot his name, but he said he would MJ would listen to him when it was enough. Kobe, he wanted to run another 50 miles. Kobe didn't know the stop. He didn't know. He had to go full throttle. He had to go until he was going to break. So the last 5 years of his career were, what were they? I mean, I people that are in and around my circles know that Kobe and Powell cost the Lakers that Oklahoma City series in 2012. Matter of fact, Mike Brown coached very well in those first two series. It was Kobe and Gasol who made mistakes in that series that cost them the win. But that's what happens when you've played relentless, when you've played high ankle sprains. You'd have a high ankle sprain tonight and you'd be ready to play an afternoon game the next day. That's what happens when you do that. And then what happens a couple years later? He tears his Achilles, it's game over. So I'm sorry. I'm used to the killers. That's what it is. I'm not used to the passive guys, and I'm not used to guys not getting a call and then stopping going every game. Once in a while, okay. Once in a while. Every game? What's that going to do? The ref's going to stop the game? Oh, hold on. LeBron is pouting. It was a foul. Let's go back.
I'm kind of glad you weren't on the playback because there were so many slowdowns and reviews. I could just feel or sense the irritation you would have had or probably did have when you were watching this game.
What was good about that was I was doing things and then...
Because you were working.
Yes, I was working and then I could fast forward through it.
That's good. That's good. Absolutely. But you, if you watched it live on playback, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, you would have been extremely annoyed. I think we mentioned that several times on the broadcast.
It's grown men acting like children. That's where this all comes from at the end. And your main guy is sometimes that guy. I don't discriminate. I don't care if it's my team, your team, his team. I don't care if it's LeBron. I don't care if LeBron has five straight great games. It doesn't matter. I live in the moment. I live game to game. What have you done for me today? Why? Because that's the position you've put this team in. If the Lakers were up 20 games over 500, it might not matter as much at that point. Okay, well, they lost to Phoenix on the road. Yeah, they're still a fourth seed, a third seed. It is what it is. But they're not. This has been an ongoing issue all year. Can't rebound. Can't play team defense consistently for 48 minutes. Every time you get close to a deficit, all of a sudden they go on an 8-0 run within a matter of a minute and 3 seconds. When does this stop? When are you going to figure out a way to keep this from happening? These are all fundamental issues in a lot of ways. It's all bad reads, bad decisions, watching the ball, not shooting to the hoop, not slashing to the hoop. So if you've been watching basketball for 33 years and you've seen this stuff in those 33 years, you're going to ask yourself why it's not happening now. These are athletes, right? These guys are playing basketball, right? A lot of these guys are young, right? Rui, Austin, D'Lo, these guys are young. AD's young. You can't sit there and say, oh, this is the oldest team in the NBA. They can't move. Okay, that was the case, and I'd say, yeah, he can't get from point A to point B. LeBron can't get to the hole like he used to. I would understand that if you're saying 39 years old. But let me ask you this. If you're 21 or 39, is it that hard to pout and leave your players on a 4-on-5 break? Is that an age thing? You would think that when you're 39, you'd stop doing that. You'd mature, right? So he's not playing defense for 48 minutes. I understand that too. But if he's not playing defense other than 3 or 4 times, it's going to cost the Lakers a lot of points. And that needs to be addressed. How, as a coach, as an organization, as players, how are you going to cover that? Can you? Darvin Ham could have saved himself a lot of headache that way, right? Guys, we're trying to compensate because we don't want to burn out LeBron, blah, blah, blah. We're trying to run a certain amount of schemes, da, da, da. He doesn't know how to talk like that. He doesn't have a freaking clue what a scheme is anyways. It's just a fractured team with a terrible coach, a front office that really doesn't know what they're doing, an owner that hopes and wishes and dances everywhere. And then you have LeBron adding more BS to it with his indirect, direct comments on some stupid-ass, worthless social media garbage while the team is trying to find themselves at a particular time. Like, we don't need to hear about how LeBron is not happy. We're not happy as a fan base because of your ass, okay? How about that? And then now there's word that he wants an extension. Oh, wow, what a surprise. Ooh, really? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. He ain't turning down $51 million. Oh, yeah, he will if he gets an extension. Yeah, still a businessman, right?
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Right. Good. Okay. So we're going to see this summer. I'd say bets are going to be very, very good on the Lakers extending LeBron probably 2 more years.
Yeah, I see it too. That's part of the problem. Not sure I'm liking
that. Hold on, I got something else for you. Hold on.
Yeah.
You all want me to support this, right?
Yeah. And you're not being a LeBron hater. You're just being a realist.
LeBron wants to win, right? LeBron wants to win, right? Okay, LeBron. You want an extension? Okay. Are you going to take $20 million pay cut? Get paid $30 million for the amount of work? He can't play defense, but he can play offense, right?
You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't be paid $50 to $60 million.
Opt out, take a 2-year extension. A 2-year extension at 30 mil. He gets another $10 million guaranteed money. He had 51. He signs a 2-year $60 million contract. Now he has an extra $10 million guaranteed for the next couple of years. And what he does is he allows his team to have a little bit more money to start looking for possibly a third guy that can help them. Summer. I'm just saying. I'm a Laker fan. I'm thinking about the Lakers. That would be a nice way to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would he do it? Does he really care about winning?
Or does he pick up that $51 million? Or does he not pick it up and get, like you said, a 3-year deal?
Does he go into the season a lame duck player? Because no one's going to pay him $51 or $60 million the following year either. Off the free agent market. So what is the plan there? The plan is very likely that LeBron is going to sign an extension. Genie and the Lakers don't want to lose that star power.
No matter how much of a detriment it could be. Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to continue to shovel the you know what into somewhere. And then hope. And I got the bunny ears up again, guys, on audio. hope that they can get another guy this summer that can help LeBron win. Where have we heard that before? guys,
let's hope they don't have a dinner together.
Guys, if you're 39 years old and you're getting 25-7-7, you still can play. So 39 or not, you still can play. So you can't have it both ways. If he's not going to be productive in winning championships, then he's wasting our time. This team is about championships. Sorry. It's about championships. And there's no more important time in Laker history, believe it or not, than right now when it comes to championships. And you all know why. Because they have one more to pass the Celtics. It's very important that they pass the Celtics. Especially for guys like me who are 46 and have, since 1978, been around for the Lakers' ascension from the Celtics having 14 championships at that time, I believe. Hold on, 13, while the Lakers had 6. So look how long it's taken for them to creep even close to the Celtics with 17. It's taken almost 46 years. It still doesn't look like they're going to pass it this year. Matter of fact, Celtics might do something this year, which is starting to get scary again. They haven't lost since they lost to the Lakers, right?
Yep.
This is a scary season, folks. This is a very scary season.
They won eight in a row.
You have the Clippers, who, if Kawhi stays healthy, could be a problem now. With their new unis for the 15th time in the last 5 years. Celtics playing well, and the fact that Milwaukee's melting down. Sixers are done with Embiid not being healthy. Cleveland's too young. The Knicks is too young. It's very, very likely that the Celtics are going to probably go to the finals. So you better get ready to be a Denver Nugget fan. Because if the Denver Nuggets don't make it to the finals, it's very likely and very close that the Celtics might win it. So you better hope
right
Denver
now,
goes.
Right now, they're 5 games ahead of anybody else in the NBA. 5. Now, mind you, it's against a weaker Eastern Conference, and there's quite a few duds in the Eastern Conference, but still, they are 5 full games
ahead. Celtics wouldn't match up very well with Denver. They would get smoked, I think, in probably 5, just like Miami did. So I'm not too concerned if it's Denver and they're healthy. Jokic will freaking destroy that front line like they're not even there. And then, of course, if Jamal Murray's hitting his shots, they're toast. But that's what we have to look forward to, folks. More than likely, we're going to have to look forward to the Celtics having to lose. Otherwise, this season could be very, very disastrous.
And then for the Celtics, they have to pay Tatum this offseason.
And that's
going to be very pricey.
Good point. Good point there, G. This is the likely last season.
I think one more.
I think last season for... You mean one more? They won't sign him this year?
No. If they sign him to an extension, I think they can fit their current roster. Because they'll go into the second tax threshold, but at least they'll be able to keep them all together for one more year, I think, and then before they decide to really have to bail out on it.
It's not likely in my eyes that if they do indeed fall short again due to the inability to make shots in big games and whatnot, that they probably will try to move something this summer. They'll probably try to do something this summer. They've done everything they can at this point with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The only thing they could do was possibly say that we're the current generation's Detroit Pistons, where they're just going to keep going and going and going until something happens.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers, well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sora along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Shout out to John Aussie, our good friend on Facebook now. Plus also everybody else on YouTube and, of course, Twitch, Twitter, everybody out there catching us. Please go ahead and make sure you like and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Big shout out to Darren for his kind contribution, saying it's Intel's fault that he had to provide the super chat. Both he and Intel with the big super chats today, and it is most graciously appreciated by all of us here at the Lakers Fast Break. So when it comes right down to it, my friend, and that's something I've been saying a lot these days, the Lakers, this defense has been porous this last month. Their offense has improved, which was a big part of the reason why they were inconsistent the first part of the season. Now it's the defense. But one thing has remained is the allowance of three-pointers, Joe, and the allowance of the rebounding by the other team, allowing them to get to the offensive boards consistently. Yesterday, it was 14-3 on offensive boards. You could talk and say all you want about how the Lakers didn't get enough calls, 8 free throws, you know, how they got this reputation as that they live at the free throw line. Newsflash, they do. But I want to ask you this. When you get killed, to me, the game really centered around two things. The three-pointers you allowed to guys not named KD or Booker, and the offensive rebounds that got killed by 14-3. I think that was the difference in yesterday's game.
Well, it's the difference in almost every game that they lose like this. They can't rebound. And if a player like Nurkic is there, who's very, very big and athletic, he's going to get those balls. Lakers don't have the tenacity to go after basketballs. They don't seem to have an instinct for it. They don't really have any bigs on the team, too. If you're talking talent-wise, yeah, they're very, very deficient in that area as well. You don't have – Jackson Hayes is not a rebounding menace. Christian Wood, even if he was playing, wasn't going to be a rebounding menace. So the Lakers are very deficient in that area where they don't have enough guys that could box out and rebound, or at least box out and create positioning so that the guards or the forwards could rebound the ball. I'd say if I had to go with something where it's just physically impossible for them to do it, they're not physically able to get those rebounds. They don't really have that team.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Please join us tomorrow for John Costa's sampling of Lakers Corner Clutch Talk. That's coming up tomorrow at 3. So hopefully you'll join us here, right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But Joe, still got some time left on the clock. And cool, bro. Search is cool, man. Just everything's good. Don't worry. I know you're a young man still going out in the world, but search is good, my friend. Search is all good. Let's just let it go. Everything's good. Kumbaya. Everything's good in the, as far as the Lakers chat is concerned. We're just going to go ahead and keep it going because it is the best Lakers chat room that's out there, the Lakers Fast Break. I think search is all good, my friend. So don't even worry about it. Don't even let it stress you out, cool, bro. Things get said and misinterpreted all the time. So it's not even a big deal on that. But when it comes right down to it, Joe, with the Lakers, I think they have to go ahead and make the push now, because if they don't in the next 2 weeks, you might as well just consider them in a ninth or 10th place.
Well, we've been saying that for a while here. Again, we've been a broken record because this team has consistently been inconsistent in every major area that this team needs to not be deficient in it. Rebounding, focus, attitude, chemistry. There is an issue there. They've tried really hard. You can see them trying. You can see it. This last game, you can see them that are, they're determined. They're going and they're going. And there's some semblance of, we want this, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Maybe they're not talented enough. Maybe there's not enough depth in the end. I think that's what it's probably going to slowly go into. At some point, we're going to have to say something that's really real, which is they're just not good enough. LeBron is not good enough. He's good, but he's not good enough at this point. AD, I don't know what else he could do. He could be better, but I don't know how. He's really good this year, and he's been healthy, and he's been playing through pain. So I can't really fault him so much. D'Lo, same thing. He's fought through criticism and being traded for all year only to play as well as he has. Austin's played as well as he has. Rui's played as well as he has. I'm not really looking at those guys as needing to do more. They needed more guys around them to do well as well. That's probably what it has to be at the end. Austin Reeves is just not a rebounder. D'Lo is just not a rebounder. D'Lo is not Russell Westbrook, unfortunately, in terms of rebounding prowess. it's going to get to that there, G. We're going to find out, or I should say, we're going to have to solidify the fact that this team's just not good enough to do what it needs to do. Criticism, being picky here and picky there. I think we do that because we have how many shows we have to do during the year with the nitpick. But at the end of the year, it's going to be a much easier answer, I believe.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro, a.k.a. Ox1947. Please go ahead and support him today at LakersBall.com. Also, as well, his company that he's been working hard at all weekend long at Simblades, SimbladesWithAY.com. And, of course, on game nights, he does come at you with a nightcap and your evening with a nightcap on Lakers game days right there. The Lakers Fast Break on Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. And I know when he can, he's going to try and do a couple morning Joe for you as well. But you said on Lakers Ball, you get a lot of feedback. That was something I want to ask you because I am not on Lakers Ball as much as I would like. There's a really good crew there, really good crowd. I want to give them the highest of compliments. They seemed very inviting and welcoming to me when I was on there originally. So I have given nothing but the highest of praise to everyone at LakersBall.com. But you said that they were not exactly enthused by your comments on Max Christie. So I want to hear your thoughts because I don't really get to talk to you much about your interactions on LakersBall.com. So let me hear your thoughts, my friend, on what their perception is of the Lakers right now. Maybe you can lean on the Max Christie comments, but their perceptions on where they see the Lakers stand right now.
Pretty similar to how I think. It's probably why we get along so well.
But they said they're upset with you when it comes to Max
Christie. Except for Max Christie. I remember one of my favorite posters there. Her name is Cookie. She does the post-game opponent doom and glooms where she'll go to their forum and get quotes and posts after a loss there, and then she'll comment on them. She's really good at that. She was upset with me that I said that Christie stunk. And she's kind of a softie in terms of trying to be supportive of certain guys. So I get it. I get it.
Is that our Isabel?
Probably.
Okay. Big shout out to Isabel, who's not yet on, but always great when she's here, but because she's so positive.
And you don't want to zap people's positiveness. It's nice to be positive because there is a balance there too.
Yeah. It creates for a great conversation.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Darren is mentioning Max has potential. The problem is this team can't afford to have potential right now. They need doers. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's about. Is there is no
Xbox is going to check it out. So might have a new person there right there checking in on LakersBall.com, my friend.
Yeah, Xbox, you won't be disappointed. As a matter of fact, I feel like I've neglected them because I used to be a big contributor to their Game Time chat. But since I'm on our own Game Time situation and pre and post, it's been difficult to do all that at once. But I'll chime in there every now and then and say hello, and they're welcoming, of course. And then during the week, I'll post anyway. So it's always two or three posts every now and then, not as much as I used to, but that has more to do with the fact that I can't spend a lot of time on the internet, even though I feel like I do. But most of it is going through news, going through work stuff, emails and all that. If I could not have to worry about checking emails and things like that, it'd be much easier not to have the phone with me all the time.
Kurt, LOL Kurt. That's just so funny. You have no idea out there, most of you in the chat room, why that statement he made, and I'm going to post it right now, is so funny. And I'll just leave it at that. If you know Harrison Ford, you'll understand why that is so funny right there. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. It is Gerald Glassford along with Joe Soro. Thanks so much again for joining us. It is truly appreciated. Kurt, don't be like that. You know. You and I both know. So we'll just say leave it at that. But it is Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching, listening. But before we head on out, my friend, again, we always are bashed for being so negative, for being this, for being that. We often just, we shoot it as it is. We see the game as it is and don't want to put anything, how should I say, too optimistic in your laps, because if it doesn't come to fruition, you get on our case even more. We try to just tell you real how we feel each and every time out. And often we get bashed for it. But in a season like this, Joe, where we've been proven right much more substantially than we've been proven wrong, so much more than these other Lakers podcasts, it's just so hard to deal with some of these people out there that sit here in the comments, you guys are such a this, you guys are such that, when they don't even look at themselves and understand, you know what, I think you guys are actually been pretty right about what's happened this season all along.
Someone who's, I guess, laying it down the way it should, shouldn't have to tell everyone that that's what they do. It just should be organic.
We have to keep reiterating it all the time.
And it doesn't really matter that the interpretation, look at the world we live in, interpretation and sensitiveness is the reason why those are the big clicks these days, is because it's attention grabbing. A lot of people are just yearning for attention. Not enough attention at home, raised by probably lackluster parents, living a lackluster life, living useless lives in a lot of ways, and this is what it births. So if you're a secure person, someone who's viable, someone who has the credibility in their life, and then on top of that, they're vocal, all of a sudden you start hearing all the ignorance coming out. The, oh, they had everything handed to them, or, hey, you're just the hater, and you're just this. You see it. You can see the jealousy just seep out. It's just, they know it deep down that it's all about them just deflecting and projecting how they feel. That's what it is. That's something people need to understand. And when someone comes to you and tells you something stupid because they don't like what you heard, or they don't like what they heard from what you said, and you know that you're right or wrong is not the point. Point is, are you watching the games? Do you not see the results? Because if you see the results, you're not going to make that argument. You're not making that argument if you're watching the games. Okay, let's say you're watching the games. Maybe your interpretation is wrong. Maybe you have a soft spot for something, and you're allowing yourself to manipulate yourself into thinking that that's not the problem. To me, that's worse. You want to be optimistic and say, hey, we're going to do better next week. Okay, that's fine. Cool. I'm cool with that. I don't think it's true, but you should think that way. Be you. But if it's stuff that's already happened and you're sitting there saying, hey, well, so I don't know what to tell you. Prove that you're right then, if it means so much to you. Prove it. And sensitivity things, there's some things out there that I have opinions on. Sometimes it's just an opinion. And if that's going to bother you, well, tough. I don't give a shit. I really don't.
You almost did it right flat on an hour. That was funny.
I don't give a shit. I really don't. I don't care. I don't care about a lot of that kind of stuff. And if this show is to get to where we know it's going to go, these things are going to happen all the time. And if Cool Bro wants to learn a lesson about sensitivity, he's still a young man. I get it. Guys, whether the young, old, or whatever, if you're going to cower down to the noise, then you should go do something else. Our reaction on the show when someone comments is not based off of hurt feelings. It's based off of, where the hell did you pull that out of? Where? You think we want this team to be like this? You think we want LeBron to be this way? No.
That doesn't help our numbers, Danny.
No. I don't want that. Did I go and pull LeBron by the ear and tell him to go post stuff on Twitter? He's supposed to be the leader of a team, yet subliminal messages on some social media thing. How about if you're going to do that, how about do it the right way? You remember Phil Jackson? Remember how he used to subtly throw some things out? Do it up front. Do it like a man. And the thing is with Phil Jackson is Phil Jackson knew what he was doing. He's very good at his job. LeBron is very good at his job, except when it comes down to integral parts of the game, like running back so that your team isn't playing 4-on-5 basketball. Then that's a problem. And you don't want me to criticize that? Come on. Give me a break. Okay, if you don't want me to do that, go watch Laker Nation then. Go listen to Mike Trudell in his size XS suits. Talk about positive crap. I'm not here to talk positive crap unless you give me a reason to talk positive. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't at all. Most people who say that, by the way, are full of crap too, by the way. So I can understand your trepidation and all that. But I'm going to tell you right now, 100%, I don't care. We're going to be watching all 82, 83, 84 games of the regular season here very, very soon. How are you going to argue against someone who's watching every game, every play? How? I talked to how many people about my other sports? Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Polamalu's and all that. How are you going to argue with me about things that I assess? I've watched every single game those guys have coached or played. How are you going to tell me I don't know what I'm looking at? How? Well, maybe you think I'm lying that I didn't watch all the games. Okay. Fine, I did. I don't see any reason why I would lie. I literally have not missed a Steeler game this century. I have not missed a game this century. That's 24 years of football. So now what? If I say that this is happening with this particular coach or this player, how are you not? And I give you facts on top of that. What now? What? Now where do we stand? What are we doing here? What are we doing on this show? Are we supposed to be here, hold hands, and hope and kiss each other? Is that what you want? If they were winning more, I'd be doing that.
Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching. This thing truly appreciated. Don't forget Wednesday, the Lakers go ahead and play against the Clippers, and we'll bring all the great action to you as only we can with the pre-game, during the game, the Playback simulcast, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. And then, of course, the best post game that's out there for the Lakers right here at the Lakers Fast Break. And your nightcap with Joe Soro as well. But Joe, tomorrow, I believe we are being taken over.
Eric had a question. Do you think the play in tournament makes it worse?
I mentioned that I thought that, again, despite what you said, I said this team was fatigued in late December and early January. But after that, they cannot use that as an excuse. They cannot use their terrible January in its entirety as a whole on the IST. They just cannot do that. They were tired coming off of the IST, and it showed. But yeah, after that, 2 weeks. I'll say the 2 weeks, two and a half weeks. Yeah, there's no excuses. That January when they had a ton of home games, absolutely no excuse. They didn't capitalize on that.
No, it didn't make it. It doesn't make it better or worse. All they did was redo the courts and played an extra game. That's it. That's all. It created this unique buzz. That's about it. If the Lakers want to solve their, I'm sorry, if the NBA wants to solve their viewership issue, and I don't even know if that's a problem. I was looking at a statistic. The NBA is a strong second most popular sport in America. Those who say I haven't watched NBA basketball since blah blah blah, but half of those people are lying. NBA is doing very well. Salary caps keep going up. They're going to have a TV contract here that's going to be more than they've ever had. These guys are playing a fixed game in a lot of ways. I'm not talking about just the games. It's a fixed game financially. They're going to make money one way or the other. They already know they're going to make money. It doesn't matter what the fans mean nothing anymore, folks. It's about the TV money. It's about the TV money. And there's some way they know they're going to get a certain amount of eyes, gamblers especially. I think that's what happened is they stuck to the gamblers, and they know the gamblers are going to watch. And they don't really care about the general fans. The general fans, we've seen those yahoos at games. You know, they can't wait to get on TV from that stupid Titantron, whatever the hell they call it. Or am I getting out of focus here?
Exactly. It's going to take a sec. It takes a second for these cams once they get out of focus to get you back in again.
That's funny. Look, I don't think I can remember. Maybe I need to get a new camera.
They all do it. Mine does it too. So they don't autofocus real well at all.
There we go.
There you go.
Just got to back to you. Right. Okay. Yep. Can't see me.
John Cena.
Yeah. So back to what I was saying is, my solution for the NBA stale stuff is I would have made the regular season more regional in terms of its scheduling. I don't know if that's a problem scheduling wise, but I would like to think, and they used to do this. They used to play teams six times during the year that were in their division. They should go back to that. It lessens travel time. It creates more of a regional rivalry with those teams. It would solve a lot of those problems with travel and cost of travel too. It would help in every way. But for some reason, that's not on the table. If they're thinking gimmicky type things are going to work, they think that this play-in thing has been good. I don't think it has. I think just there's too many people that are involved now in winning. I think there needs to be some, because they're worried about tanking, people tanking, teams tanking. Well, if you're worried about teams tanking, maybe you should put in a three-year at a high school rule then, just like the NFL. So which one is it? You guys want to eat everything and you want to have your cake and eat it too, as they say, right? You can't pick one. Well, we don't want to deny the opportunity. Okay, then don't do that. But understand that you're going to get players that are not going to be ready to play in the NBA right away. So now what are you going to do? You don't want players to leave their teams anymore, so you create the Supermax. Now the two areas that you were really popular in, trade deadline and free agency, you've completely butchered. They should have made it easier for players to leave and go test the market. Oh, no, they don't want to do that because, oh, LeBron did the decision and went to Miami, and Durant went from Oklahoma City to Golden State. See, this is the thing that pisses me off. one instance every 5-6 years, all of a sudden we got to change the whole rule thing. And then on top of that, they create this Supermax thing, and then they tell these guys, hey, whoa, hold on a second. You got to play 65 games now. And now they're getting mad. It's like this back and forth of two babies crying. And we're the people allowing ourselves to watch two immature jugheads go back and forth.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro from LakersBall.com. Please support him with his company. If you're in the Southern California area and you need a new lawn transformed into something much more magical than it is today, go ahead to SinBlades, SinBladesWithAY.com. And of course, you know he hosts Lakers Nightcap coming up on game night on Wednesday nights. Looking forward to that. My friend, it's been a great conversation. Cool, bro. Everything is all good. I think search is all right. No problems with search. You know, he's one of the best out there when it comes to moderating, especially for the Lakers channels out there. But Joe, it's been a great conversation talking about the Lakers. Many problems besides just the defense, I think, has been the reason why we're at where we're at. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
No.
The traditional no, indeed. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. We'll be back tomorrow with John Costa. Will we do a show tomorrow night? We'll see. But John Costa will be here 3 p.m. Pacific. Already got it on the schedule. You already see it if you're on YouTube and Facebook. Got it right there for you. It is John Costa coming up with a sample of what he does on his Clutch Talk and Lakers Corner channel. So hopefully you will give him your time, and hopefully he will be able to provide some good info and talk for you as well. So for Joe Soro, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate Darren and Intel for their great contributions today. Always love those super chats. Cannot thank you enough for being part of what we do here. And everybody, the great conversation for the best Lakers chat room that's out there can always be found right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.